Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. I'm Lynette. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. Dr. Umat is off today.
She is indeed, but she'll be back next week.
That's right.
And so, the fact is, I'll be here next week, too.
The two of you and Mark will be in for me. I'll be in Italy.
And the week after, I'll be gone.
That's right. We kind of take turns.
Well, I've got meetings I've got to go to down in Houston 2 weeks from now. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, it should be down to maybe in the 90s next week when you go.
That's right. Well, I'll be inside, meeting room. So,
I'm headed to Rome, and they're unseasonably hot, 88 and 89 now. Yeah, so yeah. We'll see. Lots going on this morning. Woke up to the news of the war in Israel.
Yep.
And they typically have wars and skirmishes. This seems to be a big one.
I just got a blurb on my phone a few minutes ago, though, saying that the Hamas has taken a series of Israeli hostages.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right. We'll see if that continues or if they take them and leave and how that will play out. I have friends that are there right now and they said, oh, yeah, we heard about that. Yeah, we're going to Bethlehem today. So they're not as freaked out as we can tend to get when we look at the media. And what else? What is up with Biden and wanting to? Well, that's always the question, but.
Yeah. He's decided to build a wall.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. Why didn't anybody think of that sooner?
Yeah, I thought there was this Trump fella that maybe came up with that idea.
Mexico.
But when he said it was racist.
Right, yes, of course.
And ineffective.
And ineffective.
Racist and ineffective. No need to build the wall. Doesn't work anyway. And besides, if you do build the wall, you're a racist pig. And
last 3 years?
Well, but 2 days ago, Mayorkas came out and said, hey, guess what? Even though the border has been under great control for the last 2 weeks, suddenly we have a crisis at the border and we have to suspend 23 environmental laws and build that wall immediately.
Immediately, right now, before the election.
Yes.
I mean, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, yes.
Wow.
I don't know. Okay, politicians.
That's
news. That's why, the old phrase, lying politician, is a redundancy. You're saying the same thing twice.
Same thing, yeah.
Politician, lying, here we
go. Oh, boy. Okay, so that's news around the world. How about in health news?
Well, in health news, not a whole lot new, actually. Okay. We're just, everything is ticking right along.
How about vaccinations?
It's flu season. Everybody's
going to
get their flu. I'm going to get my flu shot. And I'm going to update my Shingrix to avoid shingles, and I'm probably way overdue, for my pneumococcal pneumonia protection. So I'll update that. But no, I'm not going to get COVID immunization because right now, as I'm looking at the data, COVID is a cold for everybody except overweight and immunosuppressed. If you're on immunotherapy for your cancer, or you're getting radiation therapy, if you're morbidly obese, if you're a fragile cardiac diabetes patient, then yes, you probably should get your vaccine. Recognize that vaccine will last about 4 to 5 months. But that's it. So I have nothing really special for that. Actually, the big news in my life right now is that my wife and daughter are down in California today. My daughter has a fencing meet. She's at a great big meet down there just south of San Jose. And about 3,000 young fencers are down there competing with each other today. So it's quite a big fencing meet. She fences épée, and she's only been fencing for about a year, but she's going to be going up against girls that have fenced for 3, 4, and 5 years. So we're not expecting, you know, a high score, but we want her to start going. And so all she knows that Daddy expects is an honest effort. Whether you win or lose, I want an honest effort. And after that, we'll see where life goes. I have no demands for success, on the other hand. Let's see, what else is there going on in the medical world? You know, for some reason, the politicians are kind of keeping their nose pretty much out of medicine this last few weeks, which is a really good idea, because while they may mean well, the reality is they don't know what the hell they're talking about most of the time. And so I just wish doctors were allowed to make the rules for lawyers like the lawyers keep making the rules for doctors.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would make sense.
We're going to now, for the next decade, we're going to let the doctors make all the rules for lawyers and courts to obey.
Okay.
And they'd say, you can't do that. You don't know any law. Well, what the hell? You know nothing about medicine. You don't keep your nose out of our business. Why should we have to keep ours out of yours? Seems fair to me.
There you go.
But then again, my concept of fair is a little skewed at times. It's like it's a federal crime. It's a felony to lie to the federal government.
Yet.
So why isn't it a felony for the federal government to lie to us?
Hmm.
I mean, doesn't it? Shouldn't it work both ways?
It should work both ways.
If I can't lie to you, you can't lie to me. It seems reasonable.
It's logical.
Of course, every politician in the country would be in the hooscow.
Yeah, they'd be in big trouble.
That's a whole different problem. And, of course, we'd have to have doctors, you know, holding their courts, their trials.
And that's true.
Yeah. Mm. Hang them from the highest tree.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, so phone lines are open now. We are ready to go. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, now is the time to call. Don't wait until the very end of our show.
Please don't.
No, we want to spend as much time as we can talking to you.
The guy who calls in the last 5 minutes of the show, he's got a 20-minute answer
he needs. A big question, yes.
So, you know, if you got your questions, come on in. Give us a call fairly early.
That's right.
And, you know.
Don't be shy.
No. And so, and my wife is sending me videos of my daughter's fencing.
Aww.
And so during the commercial breaks, I'll be on my phone watching videos of my little daughter's fencing. So
I heard all the yelling and I thought, oh, he's watching an Israel video or something.
No. That was,
no, it's not her fencing.
That's right. That's everybody out there clashing of swords and lunging at one another.
We wish her luck down there. How fun is that? Here's the number to get through with your questions, 206-421-5757. Our last show, we were talking about everything from treatments for enlarged prostates, talking about muscles and things on tongues.
You know, it tends to go in cycles. I think last week,
it was all women.
It was all
on both shows.
I'm not sure we had a single guy call
in. I don't think we did.
It was an all-female show last week, except
for
me.
That's right.
And this week, at least last 2 hours, we got a pretty good mix of men and women.
Yep.
Though it was a little prostate heavy. It'll be interesting to see who calls us this show.
Okay. Well, Bonnie wants to be first right now.
Oh, we're starting with a woman. Okay, keep
yes,
track.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, and put an F there for a female.
I got it. 206-421-5757 is how you get through to us. We are live in the studio. Let's go to Bonnie calling in from Edmonds. Hi, Bonnie. You're
hello,
number one.
Bonnie. How are you
hello,
today,
hello,
lady?
Hello. He knows how old I am.
Oh.
He remembers me. Anyway, I'm calling because you talked on the earlier show about the testosterone.
Yes.
And I've noticed at 80 years old that I'm starting to shrink,
yes,
and my clothes are starting to get too big on me. And I knew that I should probably up my testosterone because I do the bioidentical hormone replacement.
Uh-huh.
Now, my question to you is, the naturopathic doctor that I was seeing doesn't take Humana. so I can't work with her. How can I get around that to raise my testosterone in my prescription?
Unfortunately, if your insurance doesn't cover them, you're going to end up paying out of pocket.
You know, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, they don't pay to repaint your living room walls and, you know, so,
yeah.
But you still do it.
Okay. So could what my prescription is estrogen is for, -20, whatever that means, and then progesterone is 200, and testosterone is 3 mg, I guess it is, 3 mg.
Uh-huh.
And so how much testosterone can you take without growing a beard, a full beard?
Yeah, you won't, as long as you keep your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone in balance, and that's the key.
That's it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you become testosterone dominant, then you will. But, you know, when you were 20 years old and you were not growing a beard, but you had 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone in your blood than estrogen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone is a woman's primary sex hormone. It's not estrogen. Okay. You guys mm-hmm. have more estrogen than we have. We have more testosterone than you. The average man at 18 or 20 years old is going to run a total testosterone of somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 1,200 nanograms per deciliter. A woman will run a testosterone 70 to 80 nanograms per deciliter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you guys run about 1/12 of ours.
But and they call us hormonal.
Yes, that's right.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, we men are the hormonal ones. We really are. We've got vastly more total hormones in our system than women do. So the average woman runs a testosterone 70 to 80 nanograms per deciliter, but your estrogen was about 30 nanograms per deciliter. Okay. And so it's that ratio. When they're giving you back your estradiol, your testosterone, your progesterone, the testosterone should be about twice what the estrogen is. And then the estrogen should be about twice what the progesterone is.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not what you're putting on your skin. That's what's in your bloodstream.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because it turns out that estrogen and testosterone cross the skin pretty easily. Progesterone is very tough to get across the skin.
Hmm.
Progesterone is a molecule that doesn't come across skin very easily. So progesterone, if you're using it on skin, I say use it on your face and your neck where the skin is very thin and the blood supply is very rich, and you'll absorb it more effectively there than you do other places. The other place for progesterone to be absorbed very well is the vagina. If you put it right where the skin turns to pink mucosa on that mucous membrane, it absorbs it about 6 times better than regular skin does. So,
right.
But what we're after is, what are the blood levels? And so you need someone that'll check your blood levels regularly and adjust each of those hormones. And that's why when you tell me, you know, you've got one cream that's got 3 things in it, that makes me a little nervous, because you may need to adjust each one independently until you get them right where you want them.
And, okay.
And some may be absorbed more efficiently than others. And so that also alters things.
Okay, so I really do need to see a naturopath then.
Yeah, or better yet, a longevity doctor, because guess what?
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do for a living. Yeah.
I know. I've been a patient for over 2 years with you before, but I can't always
afford it. I understand.
I have one question about the protein powder.
Okay. Hold on a minute. The music says we have to take a break.
Yep, stay right there,
Bonnie.
Don't
go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yep, we'll talk protein powder in just a moment with Bonnie. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. We'll be...
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-2-4 slide. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece he'd have a ball in mine. Well, he's
a friend. Such a fun song. Great way to start your Saturday morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here.
I am indeed.
Yes, and I'm Lynette, Leading Edge Medicine, talking with Bonnie from Edmonds. Wanted to know about protein powder.
Yeah, but let me digress a little bit.
Okay.
Bonnie, are you still there?
Yes,
okay.
Of course.
Good
job. One of the things you said kind of raised my alarms a little bit, okay? And that you said you're kind of shriveling up on me.
Yeah.
And what we generally refer to that is called sarcopenia. Mm-hmm. And that's where a person reaches a point in life where they're not able to make muscle and bone and ligament anymore. And testosterone is part of the answer. Okay, so yes, getting your testosterone load up so you make better muscle is part of it. But the other part that we often find is senescent cell load. Every cell in our body is supposed to do its job for a specific period of time, and then that cell is supposed to basically die, go away, and get replaced by a new cell. So we kind of turn over. So as our cells wear out, we make new, more robust cells to take their place. But with aging, there's a process called senescence, in which more and more cells in our body, instead of dying and being replaced, they undergo a change, and we often refer to them as our zombie cells, because they no longer do their job, but they also won't die and get out of the way. And what they do instead is they sit there and they start secreting chemicals into your body that say, don't grow, don't heal, don't repair. And one senescent cell can inhibit the growth and repair of up to 12 to 15,000 healthy cells. So as our senescent cell load builds up, our healthy cells won't turn over and get replaced like they should. And the result is we start just shrinking up and shriveling up, and that's called a sarcopenia. We lose our muscle, we lose our bone density, we lose our strength, and that's the sort of thing that kind of leads us towards the nursing home and old age death. Not what we're looking for with you, okay, or anybody else that I get a chance to intervene with. So we now have the ability to treat people for senescent cells. We can actually kill about 30% of your senescent cells with 3 days of treatment. And so what we do is we treat them for 3 days, 1 week, and the next week we treat them again for 3 days, and the next week we treat them again. And we end up by taking your total senescent cell load down by about 70% over a three-week period. And when we do that, then the testosterone and the hormones and the protein powder and the exercise become far more effective. But if we let those senescent cells build up, you just kind of shrivel up and go away. And that, I don't think, is really what you're looking for.
We don't want that.
No. So, okay, well, and is that an additional cost? Longevity?
Nope. It is part of our regular program. We do it. Well, you have to do the medicines, of course. But the medicines are about $200. So
What are they?
Dasatinib and quercetin.
Okay.
50 to 100 milligrams of dasatinib a day for 3 days, coupled with about 1,000 of quercetin. And then the next week we do it for 3 more days, and the next week we do it for 3 more days. Just 3 days a week for 3 weeks, and that will usually knock that senescent cell load way down, and people suddenly start being able to make muscle again. So that's important.
Yes.
So it's a regular part of our treatment at Longevity Medical Clinic. It's just the only cost is the drugs.
Medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, now.
Thank you. I guess I'll have to reconsider.
Yes.
So anyway, my question is, I have rice protein powders here, and one is chocolate, and it's like 150 calories, and I don't want to drink or taste chocolate in the morning. you know?
I know, yeah. And generally, most of the companies that make them with chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Oh, yes.
Those are kind of the big three
flavors.
Yeah, we just
do
our...
You have a powder.
We have one. We call it Optimal Lean. We only have one flavor, and that is the vanilla. But then folks that want chocolate can throw a little cocoa in it. It's just fine. Personally, I throw a little bit of instant coffee in it. Because I like to make it a sweet-tasting coffee.
There you go.
You know, and I get a little caffeine hit with it. So, so that's...
Because I noticed one of these has stevia in it, and I don't want to do the stevia.
Well, they all have something for a sweetener, and the two best sweeteners right now that I can think of, if you're going to have a sweet taste, it's going to either be stevia or monk fruit.
Yeah.
So, and we've used stevia in ours so far. I am thinking about having them shifted over to monk fruit in the fairly near future. But then I've got some interesting ones that I want to bring out. I'm talking to our manufacturers right now about making a Thai tea and Vietnamese coffee flavors. So why not make it more fun? And I think everybody loves Thai tea.
Is that what you brought Dr. Umat and I about a month ago?
Yeah, I brought you guys the Thai tea.
Oh, we drank it right up and we're like, ooh.
Tasty stuff.
And, yes, it was.
And I love the Vietnamese coffee version. Mm. So we're looking at expanding the flavors, but I don't want to go to chocolate and strawberry. Everybody does chocolate and strawberry. So I'm looking at shifting the sweetener from stevia to monk fruit and then, you know, going to vanilla, Vietnamese coffee, and Thai tea for my flavors. But that'll be somewhere early in the year.
I'm sorry. Was that earlier in the year?
I hope to bring those out sometime early next year.
Okay.
We'll
see. Okay. So, because I was gifted a package of monk fruit, but it has ethereal, which is an artificial sweetener mixed with some monk fruit. So that I don't think that's a good idea.
No, you don't need that. But you can get straight monk fruit extract, which will sweeten things up. Your problem then is getting, though, the hydrolyzed protein that's unsweetened to start with. So you might look for one that is already sweetened with monk fruit. And I know of one, and they've got some really fancy, fun flavors. Let's see, what are they called? Boba Tea. Yeah, go online, look up the website for Boba Tea. It's a little company. I think it's down in Arizona. And it's a little Chinese family down there has started. Quite a small company. I've actually talked to my staff about maybe buying them out because I like their products so much. But, so they've got some great flavors.
Okay, so they have protein powder there.
They have protein powder that is all done with a monk fruit sweetener.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, ma'am. You take care.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You too. Have an awesome day.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
We will. With all this sunshine, do something outside. Take a walk. Breathe it in.
And do all of the above.
Yes. Enjoy
that. Actually, I'll probably take a run, but that's a whole different issue.
Yes. Here's the number to get through today for Leading Edge Medicine live in the studio with Dr. Mixon while Dr. Umat has the weekend off. Here's the number 206-421-5757. You can call in and get right through. Phone lines are open for you. Right now, headed to Covington, we have Rob, and we'll have just enough time to get Rob's question, take a break, and come back and talk about it. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Good morning. Good to talk to you again, Dr. Mixon and Lynette. So my question was originally just going to be, I'm 67, healthy, but my parents both had, before this age, they both had hip replacement surgeries done, hip prosthetics. And because of DJD and the hips.
Sure.
And I don't have a problem with it at my age because I think I've kept my my weight in check. Mm-hmm. I've stayed very, very physically active. I worked heavy work in construction for many years but quit that 20 years ago so it wouldn't beat me up anymore. And still, I'm wondering, my question originally was about doing preventative stem cell treatments to the hips to keep the cartilage and the articular surfaces in top condition for my duration. Mm-hmm. Then I heard you just talking now about the senescent cells throughout the entire body. I had always thought that they were predominantly only in the brain. Now I hear that since they're throughout the cells, then it seems that it would make sense for the highest effectiveness or efficacy of the stem cell, if that was advisable, then do it after the treatments to reduce your senescence so that you get the okay.
Yes, absolutely. What I tell folks is you do the senescent cell therapy first, and you give it 2 or 3 weeks after the senescent cell therapy to let them finish dying off, and then you get your stem cells. But let's talk about that stem cell treatment a little more, because I'm not going to encourage you to do it prophylactically, and I'll tell you why when we get back, okay?
All right. Rob, you stay on the line. And for those of you who have a question for Dr. Mixon this morning, call now at 206-421-5757. You've probably heard the term stem cells. Maybe you don't quite understand that. We're going to talk about that in just a moment with Dr. Mixon. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. This morning, and Dr. Jerry Mixon.
And I do enjoy the Eagles, too.
Oh, I do, too. Love that.
But, let's see, we were chatting about
stem cells with Rob.
The problem with stem cell therapy prophylactically is you don't know how much results you really got. You know, we're either having to punch a hole through your bone and get the marrow out for the aspirate to get your stem cells, or we have to do essentially a little liposuction on your belly fat to get the stem cells. And if you're not having pain and we inject these things into your hip, are we sure we're getting a lot of results or not?
Oh.
And you're not raising the stem cell level of your whole body, which is what you'd really love to do. You're just rearranging. You're taking stem cells from here where you have enough and putting them somewhere else where maybe you don't have enough.
Understood.
Strikes me that what we really want to do is get our entire body to have better stem cell production and fewer senescent cells. Because you've got two different things. You've got growth and you've got destruction. And as we age, our senescent cell load tends to be climbing, and that's accelerating the rate at which we decline and prevents us from healing and repairing. On the other hand, as we age, our stem cells become less and less active and become less and less viable. And so we'd like to boost our stem cell production up and decrease our senescent cell.
So the smarter way is to at least start with decreasing the senescence first and see how well the body responds.
Right. That's fast, easy, and relatively cheap. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I mean, 3 days of therapy, 3 weeks in a row, total of 9 days, couple of $100, you know, and that should get you better for some period of time. Now, the next thing is you want to slow the formation of senescent cells. And there are things such as the resveratrol and quercetin that slow the production of senescent cells. They're not very good at killing senescent cells without the dasatinib, but they do help you to not produce new senescent cells as quickly. So that's help. Again, working muscle puts out myokines that inhibit the production of new senescent cells. So the more muscle you've got and the more frequently and intensely it is exercised, the fewer senescent cells you will make. So you want to.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes. In fact, a fascinating study they did on obese women who were midlife, you know, in their 50s. They had fairly high senescent cell load. They actually did a biopsy of the fat over their thighs and measured the number of senescent cells, because you can't measure senescent cells in your blood, unfortunately. You actually have to biopsy, take a piece of tissue to look at the senescent cell load. So it's kind of cumbersome, expensive, and how many holes do you want poked in your body? But for this research, they took a senescent cell load in the fat overlying the thigh, and then they put them on a aggressive exercise program that worked their thighs. They had these ladies doing leg lifts and presses, and 3 months later then rechecked the senescent cell load in the fat over the thighs, and they had cut the load in half.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Just by 3 months of exercise in that muscle. And so that working muscle had released enough myokines that had seeped up out of the muscle into the fat and had decreased the senescent cell load.
Mm.
We now know that working muscle produces more than 300 different compounds that fight cancer, that cause your brain to grow more efficiently, to help you to learn more, to make your bones denser, to decrease senescent cells, and to actually help the growth of everything from heart, lung, brain, kidney. They all grow better with working muscle. So
the more consistency, the more consistently you work and allow your system to break down and rebuild, the better.
That's right.
The reduction in senescence.
That's right. So you want as much muscle worked as frequently as possible as you got. You want as little fat, because fat is actually producing 80 different things that increase senescent cell load and increase inflammation and increase the death of brain cells.
I've worked
over the last year to drop about 16 pounds, predominantly noticeable in the visceral fat, which was what my target was.
Yep.
So I'm down to 22% BMI and about 182, which is for 6 foot.
Good.
That's not too bad.
I
feel much better. It's easier to move around, and I'm sure that that's a big portion of what's
taking load
off of my joints.
Yes, and 16% body fat is well within the normal range. For a man, normal body fat is 9 to 19%. Okay.
Now, so that's my target, is get down in that 18-19%. I'm at 20, 22
okay.
now. So
yeah, well, normal is 9 to 19. Okay, I carry my own at 12 or 13 most of the time. That's where I'm not shooting for that body. I'm not shooting for that 6 and 8 bodybuilder.
No.
but that 12 to 13% is where I like to keep my own. But anyway, senescent cell therapy is a great way to lower that big time to start with. And then you want to increase your own stem cell production, and you want healthier, more viable stem cells. Guess what medicine does that for us? Rapamycin.
Ah, okay.
Okay, rapamycin / sirolimus is the other name for it. So, you know, 6 or so milligrams of rapamycin once a week actually increases stem cell viability and decreases senescent cell production.
Wow.
So first I lower the senescent cells to get them down in a good place, work out your muscles, get your body fat as low as you reasonably can, try to get it down in that 14-15% if you reasonably can, and add as much working muscle as possible, and then resveratrol, quercetin on a daily basis, rapamycin about once a week, and that should avoid your need for stem cell injections in your joints.
Mm. Well, that sounds great. So the quercetin you were saying was 1,000 milligrams a day?
Well, 1,000 milligrams with 100 of the dasatinib to treat it. Most of the time, we only give people 500 a day every day on a daily basis.
Because I have some already, I'll just up to say 500, then, and that can enhance
yes.
some portion
yes.
of it. Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, and we make a 500 milligram capsule, and then we do a and then resveratrol most resveratrol comes in fairly low doses. We make a 350 milligram capsule, and I take two of those in the morning and one at night. Resveratrol is fascinating in that it decreases stem cell production. It helps to prevent cancer from metastasizing and spreading. It actually increases the rate at which most solid cancer cells undergo apoptosis and die. So it slows the growth of tumors, even if you've got one you don't know about, like, you know, we guys in our prostates. And it increases brain, it increases blood flow to the brain. So that that age-related cognitive decline that is partly caused by decreasing blood flow in the brain is reversed.
It's inhibited.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I keep that resveratrol up at over 1,000 milligrams a day. And then I use the rapamycin on a day, on a weekly basis.
Has the cost of the rapamycin been reducing at all in the with greater...
Yeah. Well, what's happened is it's a mix. Obviously, because there's more demand, the pharmacies know they can charge more. But Paramount, our compounding pharmacy we use, he's got it to us at a significant fraction of the commercial rate. I think it's, I hate to quote prices for him because I may not be right, but I think it's about $5 or $6 a milligram or something. So we're up around $25 or $30 a week. So most people spend more than that at Starbucks.
Right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Rob. You've been extremely informative.
All right. You take
Have
care,
a great
sir.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call, Rob. Phone lines are open, and here is that number, 206-421-5757. Again, that number is 206-421-5757. We will be right back with Cheryl, calling from beautiful Seattle in just a moment. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Umat has the weekend off.
She does.
Yes. And it's a beautiful day. It's sunny and it's October. So hope you're able to enjoy that.
A little early for pumpkin picking.
I already picked mine. Well, I'm going to Italy this week.
That's right.
So,
you got to get it done.
I had to get it done. I wanted my porch ready to go. So I've got, I went to the pumpkin patch and got a big yellow warty one. I like the ugly ones.
Yeah, well,
I think they're adorable.
If you're going to make a monster face on it,
yes,
you need the warty ones.
You need the warty ones. And then I got a blue one and a tie-dyed one and all of these amazing colors, and a white and a black and orange. And I realized I don't have a traditional orange pumpkin, so I had to go get two more.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what would Charlie Brown say?
Yes.
You know, Charlie Brown was always waiting for the great pumpkin.
The great pumpkin.
But the great pumpkin was just a plain orange pumpkin.
Yes.
You know, and we've now warped the great pumpkin.
But they're all so many different colors.
They are.
I don't want them. Oh. I have a
big
few
ones
of those.
And little ones.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. All right, Cheryl, good morning.
Good
Cheryl
morning,
calling
Cheryl.
From Seattle. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a patient at Longevity Kirkland, and I want to get my husband in there, too.
Okay.
But he's a bit suspicious. Just a little bit about him. He has had long-standing dysthymia and depression. He started having confusion in 2014. So in 2015, we did a brain scan, which showed that his hippocampus was less than one percentile in size.
Okay.
But there were no vacuoles around the hippocampus. And he has been fairly stable since then, but the last year or so, he's had increased forgetfulness, some instances of paranoid thinking. He's physically strong, normal weight, very stubborn. That's a life issue. And how could longevity help him? And I do have a second question.
Boy. Yeah, that's the that hippocampus in the bottom one percentile is what scares the bejabbers out of me. Amygdala and hippocampal volume are the two brain findings that correlate the most with, you know, with dementia, because these are involved in memory processing. And so when they're that small, it means that those cells are not replacing themselves very well. And that in turn means that memory is just going to pot.
Can I say something?
Sure.
My educated opinion was that he was born with this, and he, as a child, he had significant learning difficulties, and that his brain, not having the hippocampus that he needed to have, put all of that stuff that the hippocampus does elsewhere in the white matter and gray matter, and that, and now that he's getting older, he's 66, that's when the, you know, the normal brain white matter is decreasing. So
yes,
that's
it is.
Why he's confused.
Well, and that may well be true. You know, youthful brains are incredibly plastic. And when babies have strokes, you know, and yes, babies do have strokes. That getting born is dangerous. And when you squish their head into a strange shape and then it pops out of the vaginal canal and, you know, remodels, strokes in children are not that rare. And the brain does incredible job of transferring functions from one area to another. So your supposition may well be true. That may explain. He could have been that way since infancy or even birth and accommodated. But if that accommodation was to white matter, then in our 60s, we're all losing some white matter. That's part of my personal task, is trying to keep as much of my brain as big and robust as I possibly can. So I think if he decided to become a patient, that would probably have to be one of our areas of major emphasis. You know, we'd want to do everything we could to increase brain function and volume. And so I would probably start with a senescent cell therapy very early in his program. You know, usually we want to get people 6 months to a year into the program, get all their hormone balancing and stuff under good control before we start things like senescent cell therapy. But with him, the combination of rapamycin to stimulate his stem cell production so that he's able to grow new tissue as well as possible, and keeping his senescent cell load as low as possible, would probably be part of my first emphasis with him. I mean, yes, we would start the hormone manipulation and so on, as we always do, but I think we'd probably want to move those two interventions way up. Instead of 6 months to a year, maybe move them into about 3 months into the program. Get him started as early as we possibly could. The depression and stuff may well be helped by the testosterone. Of course, testosterone tends to make men more optimistic and cheerful and outgoing, for looking towards the future. So some of that we may respond just to the increased testosterone load.
Thank you. That would be great, because, and I think I have enough to at least get him interested in coming in.
Okay.
My second question is my son. He also has dysthymia and depression, also social anxiety. He's 20 years. He sees similarities with his dad, between him and his dad. He's very concerned about himself, but he has strong math skills, so he has low muscle tone throughout his body. Even in it affects his speech, his hands, his running, everything. He was very delayed in that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I want to get his I want to figure out if his hormones are okay, especially with dealing with that my husband's dysthymia and depression's lifelong. Mm-hmm. If there's something that my son is missing in that area, and I know you don't treat 20-year-olds, but I don't know where to go to get the types of the first test that you do. You know, okay.
All right. Well, let's do. Well, as it happens, we are in the process. Dr. Umat and I have been working recently on coming up with a program for younger people, aimed at the techie group, those people who spend their life sucking photons out of a computer screen and doing coding. So it's interesting that you bring this up right at this moment. We've got less than a minute before we have to take a break. They just told me 60 seconds. But hang on. Let's chat a little bit about this after the right after the break, okay?
Okay. Cheryl, you stay right there. We will be back in just a minute or two. Well, this is Leading Edge Medicine, and here is the number to get through, just like Cheryl did. 206-421-5757. With your questions, Cheryl will be talking with you, Ron and Barbara. You're on deck as well. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine and Dr. Jerry Mixon in just a moment. You stay right there. Hour number two coming up.